You're listening to The B-Side, a podcast of Blessed Hope Community Church. Hey, this is Malia, your host as usual, and today I'm joined by my co-host, Pastor David.
Yes. Hello.
Man, I think you guys are probably in for an interesting podcast today.
Why?
Because
of the topic. It's so great.
Well, because right before I pushed record, David said, who knows what's going to happen?
Who knows? Well, you brought books. So it should be interesting. You might have a lot to say, though, because you usually bring up Sabbath stuff a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get into all that. I just want to say I'm going to try not to cough into everyone's ears. I was sick all weekend, and I'm on the mend, but no. I'm not 100%.
No.
And that this cough will not go away now, so no. That's always fun.
So, yeah, just be prepared for hacking in the distance.
Yeah, and just like a little loopy, you
so,
know?
So if you hear me talk for a really, really long time, I'm filibustering because Malia had to leave.
Yeah.
And I'm filling the gap. So there you go.
See, we're already starting. I'll try to be good. So yeah.
Yeah.
It was weird not being at church on Sunday. I was trying to think. I even said to Scott, I was like, I don't remember the last time we missed church because I was sick.
Yeah.
I feel like usually if I'm sick, I guess maybe it just fell during the week or something, but I can't even think of the time when I was sick.
I can't either for myself even because mm-hmm. Amy always gets on my case. There's been times she's like, you don't need to go. And mm-hmm. I'll be like, I got this. Like, yeah. I'm good.
Yeah. I suppose I probably have come when I maybe probably shouldn't have. But I definitely was feeling bad enough that I was like, okay, we're going to stay home.
No, I don't blame you. If it's been what's going around, it
sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's definitely what everybody's had.
It's not good.
But we're powering through.
Yeah, it's like when you were here yesterday, I'm like, should you be here?
I'm probably not contagious anymore, right? Aren't you contagious like early on? I don't know.
I don't know what the rules are.
I don't know what the rules are either. And I never go to the doctor. I mean, they're not going to give me anything anyways. So it's like, I know I'm going to get over it. Yeah. So
if we're following old COVID rules, you're contagious forever. So
true.
Like,
that's true. Well, depends what. Should I breathe on you? David would really like another dose of COVID.
I'm just going to follow you around with Lysol. Just spray.
Oh, man. But it was, I did get to listen to the sermon. Yeah. And I was bummed to miss that because I always love learning more about the Sabbath. Because it's such a gift.
Mm-hmm.
To us, but it is not easily pulled off by us, which is kind of the common thing for all of God's commandments and all of the things that we need to be obedient to. I mean, if they were easy, right? Yeah. We would all be pulling it off.
Yeah.
I would say I used to be much better, and this was probably at least 3 years ago, maybe longer. I was much more in tune with Sabbath, and I went to great lengths to do that better in my life. And I would say I've probably fallen off the wagon a little bit with that. And this is definitely, it was a convicting sermon, and
Well, I think a lot of the struggle with Sabbath is the tension of legalism and freedom, because I think that's one of the biggest things is if everybody just focuses on Old Testament, speaking of Sabbath, mm-hmm. you can fall very deep into a legalistic mentality. When you try to compare that to the freedom that is talked about a Sabbath in the New Testament and the Old Covenant, New Covenant. So there's a tension there.
Mm-hmm. Because we're still, I know you and I have talked about it before, because I'm like, it's a Ten Commandment. Mm-hmm. So why is there freedom more in that versus the other mm-hmm. commands? Like mm-hmm. That's been a hard one for me
mm-hmm.
Because, and Jesus practiced the Sabbath. So I feel like if we want to be more like Jesus, it's something that we should have in our lives or something that's important.
You're right. Jesus did practice Sabbath, but that's where the legalistic part comes in.
Right.
He didn't, in a way, because
not in the ways that the Pharisees
and
thought
so
he
so
should.
Again, that's
correct.
What I'm saying. Yes, and then yes. I mean, we've had this conversation before, and this is where the freedom part and the legalistic part, the tension happens, because you've asked that question before, and the answer that I have is the answer that through study I've come across, and I say, well, that makes a lot of sense, is out of the Ten Commandments, Sabbath is the only one of the Ten Commandments that is not implicitly repeated in the New Testament. There's no, like, but it is talked about, but it's talked about in the context of, go back to Colossians, it was merely a shadow pointing towards Christ. So then there's the tension of it. The tension of it is, legalistic thinking can turn the Sabbath into a burden, and it was never meant to be a burden. It's like, do it this way, or it has to be done this way, or the expectation is this. And then in the New Testament, it's like, well, one, if you forget Christ part in what Sabbath is about, then it's just another day. That's why Paul says, mm-hmm. don't let people get on, you know, don't make people judge you by new moon festivals or Sabbaths or this, right. Like, and he actually talks about the faith of others. And is it First Corinthians where he talks about, he actually again refers to Sabbath. He doesn't use the term Sabbath, but he's talking about the faith of different people. And he says, don't look down upon the faith of some, where some of you call some days more holy than other days, you know? So that's where I'm trying to say the tension comes in, because it's like weeding through all of that. So,
yeah. Yeah. Know. I appreciated how you, talked about it on Sunday, and like the distinction between like, it's not self-care, mm-hmm. like it's not idleness necessarily, mm-hmm. And because I think that's important, because I think it gets twisted sometimes, mm-hmm. where people are like, it's just about me that day, mm-hmm. you know, blah blah blah.
That's why, so, I get a lot of people don't come to church, honestly. Not, I'm not saying our church, I'm saying in general. Sure. Like, I've dealt with a lot of people like, well, that's my day.
Sure.
Sunday's my day. Yes. That's my day to sleep in. That's mm-hmm. my day to, you know, that's my day to do what I want to do. That's my day to go fishing. That's my day to go out and enjoy, like,
right.
I do it the way I want. And so it's, again, it's going back to, there's freedom in it, but there's not freedom in, like, right. I don't get to define it.
Right.
So.
So I was, I can't remember if you, like, gave a definition for Sabbath.
Just
Sunday
in the beginning, not. Just not necessarily definition, but just kind of the overview of what the Jewish view of, you know, like,
okay.
that.
Okay. So I thought I'd read historical. This definition. It's from 10 Words to Live By. It's a book by Jen Wilkin about delighting in the Ten Commandments and God's commands. So you can tell me whether you agree with this definition or not, okay. or if you think it's a good one. To Sabbath is to cease activity for the purpose of remembering God's provision, that we might worship him as we ought.
Yeah, I would track with that.
Yeah. And I mean, and she goes on to say it's intended for worship as much as it is for, like, you know, well-being, yeah. and things like
that. I would
that,
track so. With that.
Okay. That, and she also goes on to say that it's Sabbath rest is actually marked by self-denial, which to me is like, whoo, that just, mm-hmm. it's kind of like one of those things where Jesus flips all of the commands on, mm-hmm. like, upside down, where we think it's one way, but it's actually mm-hmm. harder mm-hmm. to achieve in reality. Like, do not murder. Okay, mm-hmm. I won't murder someone. That's pretty easy for me, you know.
Yeah.
But then he is like, makes don't it hate. Harder. Yeah, he ups the ante by saying, "Don't hate," and you're like, "Dang yeah. it!"
Then he goes even further. Like, if you call someone a fool, it's like,
yeah,
Gah.
I know. So I feel like this is kind of the same thing. I mean, would you agree that it's actually not harder, as in legalism, and but it's more. It's a fuller thing than what I think what typically people view it as.
Yeah.
Because of the self-denial portion.
Well, like, I had a person, just a case in point, I had a joking with me. I had a person where we've asked for a few people to come help us this Sunday. And jokingly, the person, it was on Sunday that I was talking to him, and on Sunday.
Was it Phil?
No. on Sunday, they actually were like, well, I don't know if I could come do that. It's the Sabbath, you know.
Yeah.
And it maybe I got to, we were joking, and I got mm-hmm. thinking about that, and I said, well, that's again the self-denial part, because Sabbath also includes serving.
Yes.
Right? So some of us look at that as, well, that's working and I'm supposed to mm-hmm. rest. But it's like, well, wait a minute. Jesus served on the Sabbath. That's what the Pharisees used to get all ticked off about, because he'd heal people. He'd go be teaching people. He'd mm-hmm. go be ministering to people. So when you have people that say, well, I'm not going to do certain things on a Sunday that helps other people, then it's like, well, yeah, then you're missing the point of the deeper meaning of Sabbath. It's not just about you. It's serving also. It's yes. worship. It's self-sacrifice. It's mm-hmm. the concept of not working is it's breaking free of your normal rhythm of mm-hmm. the other 6 days.
Yeah.
So it's like, try to find a time where it's like, I'm not just going and do my normal job. I'm not go doing the normal things I go do. I'm breaking the rhythm. I'm shaking it up, so to speak, because we just fall into cycles. And I think Sabbath, a big part of it is just it's a God-given weekly break the cycle. Break the cycle and
there's a realign yourself. There's a communal aspect.
Oh yeah, you're supposed to
the Sabbath, because it's one of the only commandments that talks about that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just like do this yourself, which yeah. all anything we do is going to have some sort of communal benefit or mm-hmm. you know, some sort of communal destruction mm-hmm. if it's sinful. It's like one of those things where we say sin is not just something that is just you. It's going to affect other mm. people, whether you think it will or not. But so I don't know. I think that's interesting too. And in fact, this book actually challenges Sabbath, and it challenged me because it was saying, she says basically like, you also need to look at it as like, if your Sabbath, if the way you choose to do Sabbath creates work for other people, then that's not good either, because mm-hmm. you're, I mean, like labor is supposed to cease, which is like, so, I mean, she was saying like, hey, you're getting your nails done. Mm-hmm. You're going out to eat. You're doing things that other people have to labor for. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's not true Sabbath. Mm-hmm. And like that there's an element of preparation that goes into it. So when I feel like I was like embodying Sabbath better for what it looks like for me, just because we're working on Sunday. So it just, it's a little, we have to be a little more creative, I think. Mm-hmm. I always, Saturday was what I considered my Sabbath. And so Fridays was a really big preparation day for me, where I would do laundry that day. I got groceries for the weekend. You know, I did things so that the Saturday could be more restful for mm-hmm. me, and that I wasn't, you know, whatever. But it is hard, because especially when your spouse is on a different mm-hmm. Schedule too. And so that was the day he'd be like, let's go run errands and let's mm-hmm. go out to eat and da da da. And so it was like, what is the line mm-hmm. and how do you achieve it and do it well to the fact where you feel like you're really honoring what God wants for you in that. And mm-hmm. so there's a lot of things to consider.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Oh, it's, and that again is the, there are great things to consider, mm-hmm. but at the end of the day, for me anyways, is I try for this conversation of Sabbath that the Bible doesn't, I mean, it's pretty clear mm-hmm. certain things,
right?
But at the same time, it doesn't lay out a detailed map of what it looks like.
Right. Darn it.
And that's where personal conviction has Absolutely. To become very powerful.
Yeah.
Because it's one of those things where this is where the legalism can start to come in, because it's really easy for Christians to look down on other Christians or feel like they're being looked down if they don't follow it the exact same way that somebody mm-hmm. else does. And the sad part of that is then you get people that genuinely are in seasons or their life is structured in such a way. So then you get the person that's like, they feel guilt because they're like, well, wait a minute, I work for the hospital and I work on Sundays.
Right. Yeah.
So now they carry, there's people that can actually carry this underlying guilt mm-hmm. because they've been presented with this thing of there's, or well, go back to, I'm a waitress and I have to work on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, so that's what I'm saying. So that's why Sabbath yeah. is such a hard topic. Not in that we shouldn't talk about it, but because we can fall into these traps
yeah.
of taking personal conviction or even mm-hmm. good ideas, and they just can become burdens.
Yeah. Are you saying quickly. There's like not a one size fits all when it comes to Sabbath?
No.
Okay.
Well, you just said it yourself.
Yeah.
Sunday's not my Sabbath.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sunday's my day that I get to gather with the church. I get to mm-hmm. worship. So that's part of Sabbath.
Right.
I'm serving. That's part of Sabbath. But it's not rest.
Mm-hmm. like, right.
And when I say rest, it's spiritual rest. Mm-hmm. It's Christ rest. But it's not physical rest.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. There's not a, you know. So
it's different. It's different.
Yeah. It's usually different, you know. And then you have, we just live in a world that, well, you think about farmers. Like, I think we live in a rural community, you know. Like, because I always thought that was interesting about even the Bible where it says, don't do any work. But then again, it doesn't give, like, again, more details of that. Because you think about, shepherds still would have been watching their flocks on Sabbath. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't just walked away.
Yeah.
They still would have had responsibilities to take care of that. They still would have been tending to their animals. They still would have been... So there's not like this detailed layout of like, don't do this, don't do this, don't
you
do this.
You just have to lay in your bed all day. And
well, that's what I, yeah.
I mean, that kind of sounds nice though also. Yeah. But
and because that's what I love, where Jesus had the interaction with the Pharisees where he calls them out and he's like, listen, if your donkey fell in a hole, you would save them.
Yes.
You know, so then he's challenging them like, guys, you still are doing work on Sabbath, but it's the bigger question, like, what's the mm-hmm. intention behind it? What's the motivation behind it? You know, like if a person does not take a set, let's just talk work, for instance, like rest. If you are somebody that's listening to this and you are literally working your job 24, like you're just constantly doing it because you are, let's just say worst case scenario, you're greedy and you just want more money, right? Like you are breaking the Sabbath because you are making it out like your professional, you know, stability or professional blood, whatever you want to call it, is more important than focusing on what God calls you to do. Goes back to some of the stuff I said on Sunday. You're acting like you're the end all be all, mm-hmm. like you are the most important thing. You are in control. And so, yeah, there's no one size fits all. Mm-hmm. And that's the hardest part about it. So, but again, talking about Sunday is very much a Sabbath for me because I'm gathering with the church.
Yes.
I'm worshiping. I'm delighting in the Lord, mm-hmm. but it's not my physical.
Right. Because you're usually real busy on Sundays.
Yeah.
I mean, when he leaves after preaching twice, he usually, mm-hmm. I mean, nine usually times out of 10, group. I feel like you have other commitments. Mm-hmm. And so. Yeah.
Usually go to life. Like right now this season, I'm not saying this because I'm complaining by any means. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, like right now, I'll go to life group usually. A couple Sundays a month, a good life group. And then we're doing like the discipleship track. Like the, mm-hmm. we just finished one of them.
Yeah,
so I'd come back that night
yeah.
and I'd be here. We're starting. And I'm not sharing that to complain. I'm just saying
right.
no one size fits all.
Yeah.
That's why on Mondays to be complete. So if anybody's listening to this,
don't bother him on Mondays.
Well, if you have to, you have to. But a lot of times I don't answer my phone.
Yeah.
If nobody leaves me a voicemail, I don't answer. But if you leave me, I'll respond. But I'm not going to answer on Mondays because it's my decompression time.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I try really hard not to bother you on Mondays. Yeah. Every once in a while, I'll need something, but
and there's nothing wrong. Like again, nothing wrong. I don't mind that,
mm-hmm.
but it's just one of those things.
Yeah.
So, anyways, but to say it also, it sucks at the same time. Just and I don't mean it bad, but like you were trying to say, what you were just saying, it's hard. Because Monday's not, I don't spend that with my family.
Right.
Like, I'm not enjoying time with my family.
Ideally, that would be something you would like to do. Yeah.
So I'm resting for myself mentally, mm-hmm. physically, and just emotionally and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not, like, Amy goes to work.
Mm-hmm.
The girls are at school. Sometimes that does help the being able to rest.
Right.
But at the same time, I'm not
but then
doing that.
Sometimes, I mean, going back to serving. There are times when people need you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, crisis doesn't pick a day.
Happens anytime.
And so it's not, you know, that rare for you to be called out to something or whatever either. And so,
And some weeks Sabbath moves for me because,
mm-hmm.
And again, I like saying the word Sabbath by rest period.
Yeah.
Because if I'm looking at my week and I know, oh, Friday, we're planning on doing this as a family.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'll pop in here. I'll work for a while or I'll do something that, you know, my wife, if she's listening to this, chances are I'm going to say this because it's a good chance. There's a possibility Amy's listening to this and she's washing dishes.
Mm.
Like, cause that's usually like when she does it, or aww. She's folding laundry,
yeah.
and I'll hear my voice from another room. I'm just going to say it right now, though, because this is what's so hard about it. My wife, if she's listening to this, like, he don't rest. Because she knows even when I'm at home, I'm usually
yes,
working on something.
You're a thinker.
So,
yeah.
So anyways, it's hard. That's why I want to say hard. Not that it's a burden, but it's hard to wrap our minds around what's best for us. And we just don't do that. We don't take care of ourselves. We don't, you know, we always feel like I have to. I have to get this done. I have to. That's the hard part, is getting past our own.
Sure.
Whatever you want to call it. Brokenness, really. To just live that rhythm.
So now that we've kind of laid a good foundation for kind of what it is and what it isn't, why do we worship on Sundays then? Because I think you alluded to that.
I did. I just didn't want to get into it.
So,
because it's the whole thing, right? Jewish, it's Saturday.
Yes.
Seventh-day Adventist or some other Christian still follows. Why? Yeah. So in Scripture,
when did we make the shift?
Well, that's what I think is so cool about it. It's the new covenant part, right? It's kind of freeing us from the Jewish burden. Right. And I don't blame that on Judaism. I'm just saying, over time, Jesus' example, it just kind of became this burden. So number one reason is because of the resurrection. Resurrection was on Sunday. So that's why Easter, like, it's not some fancy thing the church made up. When you read Scripture, he was crucified on Good Friday. And it says right in Scripture, we don't want him on the cross when Sabbath starts. Sabbath starts Friday at sundown. So Jesus was crucified throughout the day on Friday. But sundown was coming closer. That's where the religious leaders, we don't want him up there. That's why they broke the legs. So we know that's the timing, right? 3 days. First day of the week. That's what the Bible says. On the first day of the week, Jesus. So Sunday was the moment of the church recognized as that's the day of Christ. That's why it's called the Lord's Day. The only time that's used in the Bible is actually in Revelation. John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. So it's that reference to Sunday. The Lord's Day being because Jesus, that's the Lord's Day. It was his day of victory. That was his day of, you know, conquering sin and death and the resurrection. The other cool thing about it is, of course, the resurrection is one of the reasons. But here's one of the things that most Christians don't realize, because we don't take the time to dig into details. The church came into existence on Sunday. Pentecost was actually on a Sunday. So the moment in Acts 2 when the Holy Spirit descended, and the first moment that the church went out to proclaim the gospel into Jerusalem, that was a Sunday also. So we see massively two moments of the new covenant happening on Sunday. The other reason I think is more practical. The church was removing themselves from Judaism. So I think you see in Acts, the apostles would still go to Sabbath. Paul would go to Sabbath or to the synagogue on Sabbath. But I think the church then started to say, we're going here to the synagogue to proclaim Jesus, but that wasn't their time of worship. Like that was them trying to reach the Jewish people. So they would gather on the Lord's Day or Sunday. We also see that where Paul in his writings would say things like, I think it's in Corinthians. He talks about tithing, not tithing per se, but he talks about them gathering money. He says, when you gather on the first day of the week. So we see from Scripture that that's what the church was doing, was gathering on the first day of the week.
Okay.
So I share all that to say that Sabbath now under the new covenant isn't necessarily about a specific day. It's about what Sabbath means.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? So that's the, like, again, the legalism, right? It's Sunday, it's Saturday, it's this. I was like, stop.
Yeah.
Stop. It's about what what it means. Because that's where, again, Paul says in Colossians, it all points to Jesus.
Yes.
This all was just a shadow pointing to Jesus, right? And I love that imagery, because you think about a shadow. This is going to sound really kind of dumb, but it's the way my mind works. A shadow, like, so if I was standing here, And if the light source was coming from a certain direction, and all of a sudden it cast a shadow of a person, I'm going to see the shadow, but the shadow is going to cause me to follow it to get to the source. That's the point of when Paul, that's what my brain thinks about, is it's merely a shadow. The purpose of the shadow is to cause my gaze to move beyond the shadow to what's the source of the shadow. And so that's the most important thing about when we talk Sabbath. But yeah, I think that's the big, and that's why I think it's really cool just to know. That's why we worship on Sundays. You know, I just think that's it's kind of like a nerdy church history fact, right? Like, mm-hmm. God never said, now you shall do this on Sunday. It's just the church recognized the significance of Sunday in God's timing and God's planning. The resurrection, mm-hmm. Pentecost, it was a way that the early Jewish believers were removing themselves from Judaism and setting themselves apart, so to speak. Like,
that's
so
interesting.
I just think it was really cool.
Side note, why don't we, is this just a modern church thing that we just don't recognize? But like, we never, as long as I've been a part of Blessed Hope, mm-hmm. we've never like talked about or really recognized Pentecost Sunday. I know this is way off.
Oh, like church right calendar?
Now. Yeah. Is that just not like a evangelical?
I think it depends.
Okay.
I'm going to say it this way. I can only speak for myself. Mm-hmm. It's not that I'm opposed to it. Mm-hmm. And it's not like I purposely say, like, I just don't want to do that. It's not in my rhythm of how I've done church. Sure. I never grew up in a church that did it.
Same. I was just curious because when it comes around, sometimes I'll post something, yeah. you know, or whatever. But I don't know. We just don't ever. Yeah. We never have.
So, I have a lot of friends
before you. So
well, I have a lot of friends on Facebook that their churches. It'll make me chuckle because they'll say like it's the third week of Pentecost, like because mm-hmm. there's a church calendar,
right?
And they very much follow a church calendar. It's super
interesting. Actually,
it is. It's very interesting.
I've read a lot about the church calendar, and it's so fascinating to
well,
me.
Well, when's Lent start?
It starts today.
So Ash Wednesday's today.
Yes.
See, that's another thing. I don't, because mm-hmm. it's not in my rhythm of life, but that's another one to me that I've actually thought about this, that someday I wouldn't mind going to a place that does the ashes and having it done on Ash Wednesday. I'm not opposed to it. It's just not mm-hmm. my rhythm
right.
of what I'm used to. So it's not like I'm paying mm-hmm. attention to it. So
actually, if anyone's ever curious, I don't know what the name of it is off the top of my head, but it's on my bookshelf. It's a breakdown of the liturgical calendar, mm-hmm. and it explains like why, the whys behind everything. And then it's like a family book, so it has activities that you can do together as a family throughout the year to like celebrate all the different things. And it's actually super, it's cool. It's very interesting. I kind of, if my kids were little, I'd be totally into that.
Oh, yeah. As we're sitting here talking, I think one of the reasons that evangelical Christians have rejected a lot of that is because mm-hmm. of the legalism aspect of it. And not because it's right, but because it can be mm-hmm. emptied of its significance and meaning, and then it just becomes behavioral.
Well, and that what I like about it is like the historical significance mm-hmm. of and learning all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It's just, it's cool to me.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like I've had people
church
ask.
Church history, you know.
I've had people ask here even. And again, I'm not opposed to it. It's just you have to get in the rhythm of doing it.
Sure.
But I've had people ask, like, why don't we ever say the Lord's Prayer?
Yeah.
How come we don't say the Apostles' Creed?
Yeah.
How come we don't do this? And again, I think that's because we, not Blessed Hope, I'm just saying evangelical Christians, mm-hmm. are so far removed from a lot of other church history of saying, man, that just became this ritualistic, empty thing, mm-hmm. and it's been rejected for so long. That's why I think, so those are all things I'm not opposed to doing mm-hmm. ever. Mm-hmm. But again, I'm also, I don't want them to just become routine.
Right. Or to do it just to do it. Like there needs to be reasons
Those are all like absolutely. Ash Wednesday for me is if anybody today is going to get ashes put on their forehead, I mm-hmm. think that's great and I have nothing against it. But if you're doing it because you think you have to, or if it's just checking off a box, mm-hmm. then there's no significance or meaning to it. That should be something that you're doing because it's drawing you closer to Jesus. It's mm-hmm. something that's growing you in your faith.
Yeah.
It's not just I'm checking it off the box because that's what we do. You know, it's kind of like the same thing with if you ever go to churches that do communion every Sunday. Mm-hmm. Again, I see even from the Bible where that, you know, Paul says every time you gather together, do this, you know, do this. But I've been in churches that have done that. I've gone to churches that have done that. And it just kind of turns it, well, that's the part of the service that we're at now. And it loses its meaning. It loses its significance. Not saying that's true for everybody. I'm saying there can still be people there personally that are really mm-hmm. invested in what's happening. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying overall, it can just become a, this is what we do now, and check it off the box.
So this is a good segue to your next point. How do we avoid legalism? Because, I mean, I'm raising my hand right now, and that's hard for me. Yeah. I know if you know me, that's like such a shock.
How do we avoid legalism?
Yeah, I mean, how do we,
Again, this goes back to a term that I really appreciate, and it's called means of grace. We've talked about before that God has blessed us with things that are called means of grace. Baptism being one, the Sabbath itself to me is a means of grace. You know, communion's another one.
Yeah.
The way I think first and foremost we avoid legalism is it's against that, it's that heart thing where it's like, what's the reason? Why? Is this drawing me towards Christ? Is this growing me towards Christ? So as an example, just recently we were having a conversation. I don't remember what the context was, but we were talking about communion and we were talking about, you know, we come and do communion and I'm going to say this for anybody that's listening, and this is not meant to be a judgment or a guilt thing, but when we do communion at the church, if you're not actively taking the time before we take communion on that Sunday to prepare your heart to take that, that's an unworthy manner. Like the scripture. So I'm saying you're not doing it it's a means of grace. It's another opportunity to just realign myself to Christ and like make sure that there's nothing between me and Christ. And so there might be need of confession or there might be need of just gratitude and praise. Like if I'm not coming, if I'm just doing it like, oh, let me open up my cup. It's legalism then. Mm-hmm. That's all it is legalism. It's not, it's kind of like, okay, this is going to sound really weird. So again, if my wife's listening, you know, it's not about Amy, but I thought about this the other day. You ever notice how you can fall into the trap where you say, you know, goodbye to your spouse? And I noticed this, like, I'll say things like, love you. I'm telling her love you. It's just this term. Mm-hmm. And the other day I paused for a moment and I'm just like, I love her, but I'm like, I had a moment where I was just thinking like for myself, there's something more powerful when I say, I love you. Mm-hmm. Right? Like there's a meaning behind it versus just, it's the thing we're supposed to do, right? Hey, have a good day. Love you. I'm not emptying it if anybody does that, but it was just something I thought about. It's like, am I just being legalistic and just saying, I love you? Mm-hmm. Or am I really saying, I love you? That's what I think about the first step of protecting against legalism is, why am I doing it? Mm. Am I doing this because I'm trying to honor Christ? Am I trying to be drawn into the presence of Christ? Am I doing it like church? Mm-hmm. That's a big part of Sabbath, right?
Yeah.
Are you showing up here because you're truly desiring to offer your worship? Mm-hmm. We had a men's gathering last night of some men that are going through a book, and we were talking about worship, and because we were talking about men, how men don't engage in worship. And I challenged them with this thought that, guys, when you come to worship, are you focused more on what's most comfortable to you or what's most honoring to Jesus? So we were talking about, like, I'm not saying you have to be a hand raiser. I'm not saying you have to be a clapper. I'm not saying...
Please no clapping.
But, unless you can have rhythm.
Yeah, only if you have rhythm.
but I said, the problem with us as we worship as human beings is, even when God prompts us to step out of our comfort zone, we don't do it because I just want to focus on what's most comfortable for me, mm-hmm. not what's most honoring to Him. Mm-hmm. Again, that's a form of legalism. Because it's about me.
So, okay, I know God can do anything, right? But here's my question. I don't know if it's really a but. So your heart is like wanting to be at church on Sundays. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like we're kind of towing the line with disciplines because... Mm-hmm. Where we don't want to be legalistic, sometimes going through the motions, even when we don't feel like it, like attending church weekly or cracking your Bible open every day or, you know, trying to practice the Sabbath, mm-hmm. things like that. Sometimes, I mean, going through the motions, it may be kind of legalistic, mm-hmm. but also like it's a discipline. And so, I mean, 100% we're human and our heart is not always going to be 500% in it every single time, right? Mm-hmm. God can still use those little steps of obedience mm-hmm. to change our hearts and to grow the heart into being more like in the right place, right?
He can. Oh, I'm not saying he can't.
Right, which I know he can. But I'm just saying, like, even if it's a little legalistic first. I mean, asking for a friend. Like, God can grow that.
He can.
Because here's the thing. I think that, like, just using myself as an example, I think that I can obviously be very legalistic about things. Mm-hmm. Because I'm wired to, like, that's just kind of how I'm wired. And I'm, like, a disciplined person, too. Mm-hmm. And I think my heart, 9 times out of 10, like, is in the right place because I want it to be something that's a catalyst that helps, like, grow me mm-hmm. and bring me closer to God. But sometimes it's, like, you just have to go through the steps mm-hmm. and the motions to, like, get there. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Does that even make sense?
It makes sense. And this isn't a sidestepping of the question, because what I want to say is, there's a second part to what makes it legalistic, though.
Okay.
In my opinion, the second part of what makes something legalistic is when then I also enter into it where you need to do it the same way I do it.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, I can kind of be like that.
You need to see it the same way I see it. You need okay. to do it the same way I do it. Like, it kind of becomes the standard, right? That's right. the whole idea of
because
legal.
Because you're not doing it the way I do it, then yeah. not, you're not doing yes. it right. Okay.
Yes. So that's the second part. So okay. it's kind of like two sides of the coin.
Yeah.
That's what came to mind as you were talking about, because, yes, there's the disciplines for me personally, mm-hmm. but then legalism is then when I put that on. That's the whole legalism.
Okay, like, when I'm putting it.
I am putting that on everybody else now, too.
Okay, okay.
Where that's I'm kind helpful, of setting actually. A standard yeah. that this is how you're supposed to do this.
Man, this is why David gets paid the big bucks, yeah, you guys. Well,
that's why the Holy Spirit's so good.
Way to pastor me, pastor.
Well, listen, I'm really good at putting things on other people.
Yeah, but it's your job.
We all do it. Yeah, yeah.
You're supposed to convict us.
Yeah, we'll do it the way listen, if y'all did it the way I did it, this would be perfect. But that's the second part of legalism,
okay, no,
right?
That, because, that's helpful.
Because when you say, like, they're a legalistic church, what are they ultimately saying? Mm-hmm. We have a standard that we have placed on everybody. This is the way it's supposed right. to look. So legalism okay. in the sense of, you know, like, you're supposed to dress a certain way. That's mm-hmm. not just my personal conviction anymore. That's not just my discipline.
David would be like, everyone's wearing shorts in 20-degree weather.
Oh, listen, I have to be honest, though. The other day, when the retreat got canceled.
Mike Moore would be so happy.
He would. But when the retreat got canceled and we came to church, I get dressed and Amy's like, shorts, huh?
That was the first thing I noticed.
And I'm like, yeah, because I'm not doing nothing.
I was like, David's rocking his
shorts.
Well,
listen, I walk in and the first thing out of somebody's mouth was, nice to see you could dress up today. And I'm just like, shut up.
You know someone was going to give you crap, though.
I was like, shut up.
You had to have been ready for
I
it.
I was. But anyways. But again, that's the flip side of legalism.
Okay,
yeah. It's not just a discipline that I'm trying to follow. I'm right. demanding the discipline on everybody else.
Okay, that's very helpful.
So,
okay, that makes me feel better too.
Well,
I mean, depends on the day.
Yeah, but then that's where the tension of then legalism right comes yeah. in, because some people could honestly say that, like, so as an example, if all of a sudden I reached out to somebody and said, "Hey, haven't seen you for a while on Sunday, kind of been missing you," mm-hmm. you know, is everything all right? Well, sin and flesh and our own, like, that person could take that as, you're being legalistic. Leave me
right,
alone.
Right.
It's like, no, that's not legalistic. That's mm-hmm. we're holding each other to a standard.
Yes.
We're discipling one another.
We're caring
for one
yeah,
another.
Yeah. Like, it's, you know, they don't know where yeah. that's coming from, and you may just be genuinely yes. concerned, yes. you know? So,
but now on the flip side, again, knowing, like, you really love doing Jen Wilkins studies, if you came across and said, well, you need to study the Bible, like, yeah. you're not in the Word. And I said, well, I am. It's like, yeah, but you are not doing a Jen Wilkins study. Like, you need to get this packet,
I'm
and you need to set
you.
Down this and do it yeah, this no. way. You needed to do it the way I do it.
Yeah.
Then it's like, well, wait a minute. Now we've moved beyond.
Yes.
Let's hold each other to the standard
but
of being
also,
in God's Word.
You guys should really do a Jen Wilkins study.
Nice.
Kidding.
Nice. So that's there's a tension there, too.
Yeah.
There's a discipling one another versus mm-hmm. do it my way.
Yeah. But all yeah. my Jen Wilkin homies are like, yeah.
Yeah.
Because they've experienced
She's all right.
Okay.
She's all right.
Okay. So I feel like we covered that. Okay. What? So now let's move into some practical.
Okay.
So let's say there's someone out there that's like, you know what? That is one area of my life that I am just not doing great about being intentional.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some steps I can take, some practical steps I can take to make Sabbath more of a priority in my life, or even, like, really just start to, just take the mm-hmm. steps to do it.
Mm-hmm. Going a little bit back to Sunday, I said, Sabbath is a rhythm. There's a rhythm that God gave us. The rhythm is work, rest, delight worship, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we're called to work, we're called to rest, we're called to delight. You know, that's what God did.
He, did you make that up yourself?
Maybe.
Does it spell anything?
No.
Work, rest, delight. W-R-D-W. Oh, no, darn it.
Sorry.
I was hoping it was like a good acronym or something like.
No. I'll work on it.
Okay.
So, but I mean, that's what God did 7 days of creation, right? He worked, he rested, but he delighted in his work. Now, he didn't worship himself, but we see that from how he then said, this rhythm is given you to worship. So, mm-hmm. you know, do this and create, you know, focus on creation. Anyways, so when we think about that, what's the practical? Well, we should set aside a day, or if we can't, because almost might be, again, start small. Mm-hmm. If you can't set a whole day, set a consistent time. And I'm not saying time like 30 minutes. I'm like, mm-hmm. make it a chunk, right? If you can look at your life and say, you know what, Tuesday afternoons, this would work for me. Like, just rest from your work. Mm-hmm. And this is what I said on Sunday.
Can I rest on Tuesday afternoons, boss?
No, because that's your scheduled work time.
Yeah, I'm just kidding.
You got Fridays.
Okay. Sorry.
Which is funny, because you say there's times on Mondays. I've had actually moments where I'm like, oh, I need to ask. Oh, it's Friday.
Yeah,
she ain't going to answer.
I know. I do that too on Mondays.
She ain't working today. So when I say work, again, it's get away from the legalistic aspect of it. So some people, work might be, I work in an office all week long. Rest for me is I'm going to go out and build something in my woodshed. Mm. I'm going to go work on the house. Because mm-hmm. some people, that's rest to them. It's not just, you know, the idea of physical, because there's the mental, there's the emotional. Some people want to just, that's freeing to them, right? They're still using their physical body, but they're still, like, that's my example on Sunday. I know people that love working in their yard. I hate it, you know? that wouldn't be restful to me.
Right.
That would be a chore. That would be a burden. So
that's not going to be your job on the new
It is earth. Not. No. Not one bit. Well, maybe, because he's going to change my desires. Mm-hmm. So you never know. Mm-hmm.
That's when you know it'll be heaven on earth.
So that's step one. When we think about the practical side of it, just break the monotony. Break mm-hmm. the routine. Mm-hmm. Break the routine. If you have a hobby, enjoy the hobby.
Yeah.
You know, like, so just break the routine. But that's where it's not just a day off. You also need to find ways that you delight. So you can delight in delight in God is what I mean. It's not just about, so example would be, there might be somebody listening to this like, I love to golf. Great. That's a hobby. You can go golfing and still be delighting in the presence of God. Like, you can, like, you're out in creation. You can be in a moment of reflection and prayer. The problem is when we say, well, it's my day off, it's my Sabbath, I'm going to go golfing with my buddies and we're just going to be yakking. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. But again, if you're not delighting in the presence of God in some way, mm-hmm. that doesn't mean it has to be all day. Like, so again, some people look at Sabbath like, I can't do that all day. Mm-hmm. But break the routine. Just find a way to delight in the presence of God. But then this is the next big one. Prioritizing, delighting in God is different than worship of God. Delighting in God is just kind of like enjoying the presence of God. Worship is like the self-sacrifice. It's, you need to prioritize in your week, when's your time of worship? But here's the kicker. Where's your time of worship with God's people? Mm. Not just, well, I go out and set my deer stand and that's how I worship.
Right.
No, that's you delighting in God. Mm-hmm. I'm totally fine
great.
With that.
Yeah.
Delight in the presence of God. There's nothing wrong with that. But you need to worship with the people of God.
Yes.
Right? So this is where the Sabbath then becomes difficult, because you have those people's like, well, you only do it on Sunday. I work on Sundays. Mm-hmm. So we have some people in the church that wrestle with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's why maybe that's where you need to do, well, make sure you're in a life group. Mm-hmm. Make sure you're in a, you know, you're doing something that puts you around the people of God mm-hmm. and allows you to have that gathering with other Christians. But ultimately, I think the biggest thing with Sabbath is practically, you need to do things that make you recenter yourself. Mm-hmm. Because we all get off throughout the week. Mm-hmm. Sabbath to me is, it's about realigning myself to God, realigning myself to Christ, stopping long enough where I can think about things. stopping long enough where I can ponder things and pray about things. And so I think that's a bit just like that practical. So again, when we talk about practical, again, set when that's going to happen for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to be intentional.
You have to be intentional. Because if you don't, it's like set an appointment.
Yeah.
If you don't do that, you're going to, it's going to be 1 week you do it, 1 week you don't, and then before you don't, you're not doing it anymore. And then when you do that, guard it. Guard it 100%.
Yes.
So as an example for us, and this is not a dig on anybody, but for my family, and this would be true whether I was a pastor or not. I get it. Sundays can become busy for sports. My girls are involved in soccer and sports. We would do that because that's us. Again, we're enjoying the family. There's nothing wrong with that. But we made an intentional decision that we safeguarded still. We're going to come and worship.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, we set a rule of how that would look.
Mm-hmm.
We're not sacrificing. The purpose of the day is to be focused on God.
Yes.
Just to go play a sport. And I have to be kind of blunt about it. There's too many people that do that.
Yes.
And I'm sorry. You cannot like that I said that,
mm-hmm.
but it's not about true. You.
Yeah.
It's not about your kid and it's not about your sports. It's about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we do it. He's the primary. But so you have to protect it. Set it and protect it. Does that mean don't get legalistic? Will there be moments that you miss? Yes. Like, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, even with our girls, we gave them, every soccer season, we gave them, you can have one Sunday.
Mm.
Where you can miss.
Mm-hmm.
So you decide which tournament you want it to be,
yeah.
Which game you want it to be.
That's good.
But we will let you have one mm-hmm. Sunday a season where we will miss.
Mm-hmm. But you're setting them up to, for when they're adults, to know, like, church is a priority.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, when we constantly acquiesce to other things instead, you're... No matter what you're trying to do, like in place of that
mm-hmm.
during that morning, you're still, you know, subconsciously telling your kid that this is more important, or you're more Absolutely. Important than worshiping God yeah. this Sunday morning. And so, yeah.
Now, this is where I love the creative side of things, because I know people that do this. There are some that do miss maybe Sunday morning a lot more. And I'm not talking at church here. I'm just saying I know people that do this in other places.
Right.
But here's what they did instead. When they're gone to tournaments and stuff, every Sunday morning they get together with all the other Christians that are part of their group, and they actually have a miniature church. They do church together. They do worship together.
Hmm.
They spend time in the Word of God together. Now, this is where the legalistic stuff comes in, because some people say, well, that's not good enough. That's not this. That's not. I'm going to say this. We can debate that all we want, but at least they're still prioritizing some time.
Yeah. Or in some the presence churches of God. Offer a Saturday night service, so some families utilize that too.
Yeah. So that's where I'm saying, like, the legalistic part gets...
At the end of the day, you know, it's between you and God.
That's the freedom part, right?
Yeah.
So again, set some time, prioritize it, right? Protect it. But then when you do that, limit your work. Like, stop trying to strive for things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't just be. Don't do, just be,
mm-hmm.
you know?
That's so hard.
It's extremely hard.
I feel like... Our phones and just the way the world is now, I physically can feel that tension now. Mm-hmm. And I probably have always struggled with just being and being quiet.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely more like I feel that so much more now. I hate it.
Yeah. You have to, and I think we as Christians, we need to be informed. But we need to reject a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's actually on my one of the. So you brought it up. Part of your Sabbath is limit the noise. Put your phone down.
Yes, I have to like physically put it in another room.
Well, you know, and again, if my wife's listening, she knows I suck at that one.
Mm-hmm.
I have my phone with me all the time, everywhere, and I don't do a good job with that one.
Mm-hmm.
But so when I say limit the noise, also, there is so many times I will look at my phone, or I will be scrolling something, or I'll be looking at something. The world moves so fast. There are so many things happening in our world today that I have no clue about any of it. And I feel bad for the people that like spend so much of their lives trying to know every little detail of every little thing that's going on.
I don't want to know.
That's what I think. Like, that's just noise to me. Like, I don't, especially politics. This isn't about politics, but politics is like, there's always something happening anymore.
Yeah.
And it's like, people that are keeping up with all of that, I just sit there like, no, unless your job revolves around that. I was like, there's no way I could do that.
Do you follow the Pour Over? Mm-mm. It's a Christian news source that like they tell you like what's happening, but from a very unbiased, like these are just the facts. Yeah. And then it, like I subscribe to their newsletter, and then after it like recaps like what happened or whatever, or the big news stories, then it says, okay, how do we react to this as a Christian? Mm. And then there's usually some sort of like scripture or prayer or something. Mm. And that has been like a game changer for me.
That's good.
Yeah. It's good. Very, very good. Yeah. So I'd highly recommend that.
Yeah. Because I think this is another part of Christians, is the noise that we allow in our lives is something that actually is causing us to be as, well, I'll call it spiritually weak as we are, stressed out as we are, anxiety ridden as we are, because it's just too much. No human being was meant to carry this amount of stuff.
Yeah.
And because we're chasing after it. And the other reason is there's so much noise that we're listening to. How do you ever hear Jesus?
That's good.
I mean, really. I mean, if I'm constantly wanting to know every detail about everything, and I'm listening to every podcast and every about just world stuff,
yeah,
where am I leaving space to just be silent?
I need to be better about that.
Well, speaking of spiritual disciplines, that's probably the one that most Christians can't do, and it's the discipline of silence.
Yeah, because I am very much, if I'm cleaning or, heck, when I'm brushing my teeth, I've got earbuds in and I'm listening to something. Yeah. It's either my audio Bible, which I guess is good.
Yeah.
Or it's like a podcast or, you know, or whatever. So, yeah.
Yeah. But, so again, Amy will say this. She gives me a hard time about this all the time. I always got my phone going on something. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm washing dishes. I got it up on the windowsill and I'm watching stuff.
Redeeming the time.
You know, yeah. It's usually not stuff that I should be watching. Not that it's bad stuff, but it's not like it's biblically, you know. It's like, oh, I'm watching the show on Netflix. I'll just put my phone up here.
Yeah, I do that too.
And I'm washing dishes while I'm, you know.
Man, look at this full confessional right now.
I know, like... And that's why I say these habits are so hard.
We're both airing out our bad habits.
Because I don't do well at it, right?
So question for you, Pastor David.
Yeah.
In an ideal world, like on an ideal Sabbath day for you, like what does that look like for you?
Well, wake up about 11.
I don't even remember the last time I slept until 11. I was probably 20.
I say that jokingly. I would be hurting so bad. My body would be like, you stupid. You're just stupid, dude.
Like 7 is late for me.
A perfect Sabbath. Okay. A perfect Sabbath, if I did it the way that I should, right?
But not just should.
Well, I mean like the
like
way
a
that...
a way that is really going to be fulfilling also. Like
where I'm... pushing past my flesh to just embrace it. It would be, you know, starting the day with just quiet, right? Like, I go back to what we just got joking about. I know one of my shortcomings is I always got to have something. I always got to have something. I don't like silence. I got to have something. Yeah.
I know that about you. That's why.
I said that. Well, and that's, you know, I point, like, those of you, I mean, I wear a hearing aid now. One of the reasons I bought the one I bought is because it actually, I can Bluetooth into it. I was like, sweet, let's do that, right? Because now, anytime I want to listen to something,
I got it
right there.
Yeah.
So if I push past my flesh, there would be time of just silence. I'm envious of, I had a pastor once stay at our house when we were in Missouri, and I came out of my bedroom and there he was sitting in the chair, and he's got his Bible open, he's got his book open, he's got his coffee, and he's just having his own little, and he just sat there for like 2 hours just doing his thing, you know. I was envious, but at the same time I wasn't doing it. Right. So that would be that, just having that quiet time. For me, a lot of it would be doing things that actually help me shut my brain off. So it's not just about like listening to things. It's just shutting my brain off. So it would be doing something with Amy and the girls that actually allow me not to think about all the church stuff, because that's my problem. My problem is I can be present, but I'm not present.
We are eerily similar. Well, and that's kind of freaking me out right now. No, that's good.
But that would be the thing for me is just something where We spend time together where I'm not thinking about, oh, I got all this stuff I got to get done, or, oh, what, yeah, what about this situation and how do I fix it? And, oh, what about this problem? It would be purposely doing things that take me out of that and make me focus, make me focus on what's most important. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what that might be. I'm just saying that would be something that would be the perfect, like it helping me shut my brain off.
Yeah.
And if it was a perfect Sabbath for me, like it would be, I'll be honest, I love pastoring here. I really do. But I'm not joking. There are times when we just get to go into a church service and I just get to be. It's awesome. I love it. I love just soaking in the worship and not worrying about, okay, do you got your sermon, you know, how are you going to do this, how long, you know. Yeah, it's so nice. So it would really include going to a church service somewhere that just,
yeah,
I get to walk in and just be.
Yes. It is a luxury.
Everybody else.
Yes.
and just listen, you know, and soak it in, be challenged by it, be convicted by it, whatever it is. Yeah. Those are just nice moments, you know, just nice moments.
Yeah.
I'll probably throw a Star Wars movie in there at some point in time.
I was waiting for that.
Little PlayStation.
Oh, that's funny.
But again, yeah. I do, to be honest, I do those things like watching, because normally every Monday I do. My Monday mornings is usually I wake up and I will before noon. I usually do watch a movie or something on a, on a Monday morning. Okay. I usually watch something. Nice. And the reason is because it's just, I get to zone out.
Yeah, you can shut your brain
off. I just shut my brain off. I just enjoy whatever I'm watching.
Yeah.
And so that's part of it too, is just having that, I'm just.
Yeah, we all need to zone
out.
I'm
in a moment.
I read somewhere once, like, you know, when you find yourself and you're just like zoned out and you're not like, your eyes aren't really focusing on anything, but you're just, and you're not even present. You're just like, that's actually really good for us.
Yeah.
So I'm like, man, I need to do that more often for my health.
I can do that. I can do that pretty easy.
Yeah. I don't know where I heard that or if that study is backed by anything scientific, but I'm rolling with it.
Well, and it's also, I think when you think about
it makes sense.
This is hard for me is like the listening, like I do this. Because like even as we're talking right now, I used to do this a lot. And it's not about Sabbath, but I'm just thinking about, I used to take drives and just listen to music. Like just drive gravel roads. Because it was, again, it was a way that I was on my own. I was by myself. I enjoy singing anyways, so I could have just time to sing as loud as I want. Not have to worry about where I'm at. Like my mind could wander, not daydream, but wander, like in the sense of allowing, sometimes just God letting me think about things. That,
yeah.
And I quit doing that. Well, gas prices got kind of outrageous. But I think that's one thing. And again, it's doing what refreshes you. And that's something that used to refresh me. I used to do it a lot. Like, just get in my car and just drive.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can't afford that no more. And now if I did it, my wife would get it on Life 360 and like, what are you doing?
Why is he in Wisconsin right now? He just kept driving north.
Why does it say you're in a field somewhere? It sounds, so again, it's the refresh. This is going to sound really weird also. Physical activity is good. Like I do at times, I really like walking. Actually, we live really near to Evergreen. I like walking through the cemetery. It sounds morbid, but it's peaceful for me. It's quiet. I like looking at stones and reading them.
Yeah.
And it also is a good reminder for me of like the limitations of life. So again, that's refreshing for me. So it's like knowing the things that
David enjoys really long weird. Walks through the cemetery.
I do. Not beaches. Forget those beaches. Like, see, we're not as much alike as you thought.
I'm dying.
Not as much alike as you thought.
No, but I'm the same way in like, not the cemetery, but. For me, sleeping in is a luxury because I'm always up early usually during the week. And so having that, not to have to set my alarm clock and just waking up whenever the spirit moves me, which usually is still early because I'm 46 and my body is just like, we're getting up now, or you have to pee. Yeah. So then you're up and then your brain won't shut off. But so every once in a while, it'll let me sleep in a little bit. But that's so I always enjoy that. Mm-hmm. And then enjoying like a just an extended time, and there's no limits on it, where I actually am like studying my Bible or, you know, whatever study I happen to be doing. And I can just, and the house is quiet because no one else is awake yet. I can drink my coffee and just be in it. Like, that is like the best. Mm-hmm. I love that. Cause you know, who gets to do that every day? You know what I mean? Usually you have commitments, you have to work. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, my boss is like, hey, you need to be here, whatever. So,
always before me.
And so, yeah, that's definitely. And then I love to like cook for my family a meal that I know they're really going to enjoy. And mm-hmm. so, like, cranking the music in the kitchen mm-hmm. and cooking and that kind of stuff I always really enjoy. Yeah. Yeah. But for me, like you said about like doing something where you don't have to think about commitments and, mm-hmm. and work and stuff like that, this drives Scott crazy because whenever we go on vacations, I make him like take care of everything, because that is literally the one time in my life I cannot be a control freak.
Yeah.
He'll probably disagree with me here, but that I think I am not super controlling, where I can just like fly by the seat of my pants a little bit more and feel more fun. You know what I mean? And so I think he wishes I would plan everything, but I'm like, no, you just do everything and I'll just be there.
Yeah.
And like, these are some things I'd like to do while we're there, but it doesn't have to be, you know,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and I think I'm probably way more fun on vacation.
Yeah.
But
well, there you go.
He would probably beg to differ.
Well, Scott, if you're listening, you can write in and let us know.
Yeah. Yeah. Now,
I think the biggest part, when you just think about it, it's what's going to, no matter what anybody does, I think these are the two questions. What are you doing that's connecting you to God?
Mm-hmm.
And what are you doing that refreshes you? Mm-hmm. Just it's going to look different for everybody. You know, so at the end of whatever the activity is, if you walk away from that going like, oh, I feel better. Like, I know it's a long one, isn't it?
She's just looking at it. Yeah, I just like my eyes bugged out of my head.
I was watching the clock. I was like, we've been talking a while. But I that's my last thought. It's just ask those two questions. If whatever your Sabbath is, well, three. When is it? When is it? What are you doing that's getting you closer to Christ and growing you in your relationship with God? And what's refreshing you?
Okay.
Because at the end of it, it's like you want to walk away from it going like, I feel better with that.
Yes.
You know, I feel refreshed in that. Mm-hmm. Because I think we can all agree, anybody that's like, case of point, like faith in action, it's a lot of work. Mm-hmm. But I don't think most people, when they really do faith in action, can't say that they don't leave at the end of the day feeling refreshed.
Mm.
You might be physically tired,
mm-hmm.
but see, you've served.
Yeah.
You've went out and you've given of yourself, and God gives you a refreshment in that. So just ask those, what am I doing to refresh myself?
Yes.
And so, yeah.
That's good.
There you go.
All right. We better land this plane.
Okay. Well, circle one
thanks
more time.
Thanks for hanging in there, guys. All right. Thanks for listening.